You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Sense Show. I'm the host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And this hour, we are brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. We used to sell storable food in two-year increments. A lot of people said, Dave, I can't afford that much. That's a recommended amount, but I recognize the need. So we went to four-week volume, and our supplies are dwindling because of the demand. This has taken off like I can't believe. And we do limit selection to two per customer per day. How do you get your storable food with 25-year shelf life, great restaurant quality? Simply go to the URL, type in preparewithdave.com, and you'll land on the page. It was $250, and we've got that price down to $99. It's the best deal out there, preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Health Masters. Health Masters, you've heard me sing their praises, my back, my knee, and I avoided surgery and rehab, and I owe it all to Ted. Now, I can't make the medical claim, but I can tell you that was my experience. That's an anecdotal story. But Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle, we all have similar experiences here. Find out why Health Masters is so popular. Go to healthmasters.com. Use the coupon code 5COMMON to take 5% off. And let me remind everybody, Steve Quayle's conference, the Transhumanism Conference, it's absolutely fantastic, but it's over 80% sold out, and it's not until September. If you're going to go, now's the time. Go to the ad in the right-hand column of thecommonsenseshow.com. Click it on. Register today. I'm going to be in attendance covering it as a member of the media. Steve invited me to do so. I want to meet all of you. I've talked to so many of you for so many years. It'll be great to be there in person to meet you. So go to the website. Click on the banner ad, and don't let the grass grow under your feet, because this opportunity is really disappearing. Well, this hour, we have one of my favorite guests, and he's a former officer of the CIA, and you've heard him before on here, and you've heard a lot of the things he said have come true, going back to day one, and I'm talking about Robert David Steele, and certainly he has a lot to talk about, because the world is so volatile. I remember when I started in this business, my wife said, honey, do you think you'll ever run out of things to write and broadcast about? Well, I can't keep up. And help us keep up. Here's Robert David Steele. Robert, I'm so glad you could join us. Always great to have you with us. You're one of our audience's favorite guests. Thank you again for joining us.
Oh, well, I'm deeply honored. I was just thinking as you were speaking that common sense and conservative mean the same thing.
I hope so. I hope so. I was on a TV interview the other day in Seattle, and the guy said the same thing to me. And I just said, well, I hope we can live up to that. But my gosh, we have so much to undo in this corrupt, evil world to get some sense of normality for our lives and really to preserve the country for our children. And it's not the same country I grew up in. And I'm working hard to help my soon-to-be 18-year-old son, you know, basically inherit something of value. So I really appreciate you coming on and kind of lining the road for us about what needs to be done. So with all the things going on out there, and I've read some of the things you've sent to me, and it's just kind of like all over the map. Where would you like to start tonight?
Well, I think there's two really big areas. One is at home and the second one is abroad. At home, I've been approached by a billionaire who wants to create a military political action committee, MPAC, with 22 million veterans, and he wants to put veterans back into Congress. Right now, Congress is only at 18%. We want to take that to 50%. And we can talk about the overall plan for spending $550 million between now and November 18th, if you wish. The second area is, of course, the extraordinary success of our president in working with Xi Jinping from China to unite, denuclearize, and demilitarize the Koreas. And what's now acquiring a great deal of buzz from Beijing to Moscow is the fact that we're now looking at denuclearizing Zionist Israel. That's huge.
That would be, but is it even practical?
Yes, it is. It's very, very practical. People need to understand that the only reason that Zionist Israel has a nuclear program is because they've stolen our technology and we've paid for the rest.
Well, that I know, and that I'm aware of. A lot of people, whenever I talk about Israel, and I honor the Israel that's in the Bible,
right?
But I think this Israel today with Netanyahu, who I think is a criminal on a scale with Obama, I can't honor that, Robert. I can't say I support this man because he's murdering people in the Gaza. And they could be using non-lethal methods to restore order. This man, he should be under criminal indictment. I mean, he was right on the edge, and he's committed.
I think he will be indicted, David. And let me just cut to the chase, because there's this huge split between a very small group of Zionists and all Jews. Zionism is not Judaism. Okay. If I have had one small success with the alt-right media this past year and a half, it has been to really push the wedge in there. Zionism is evil. Jews are not. And I have two footnotes. My latest article, which has just been published by the Russian International Affairs Council, and is probably going to also be published in Arabic and Farsi very soon. It's at phibetaiota.net. It's called Peace in the Middle East, Denuclearizing Israel, Restoring Palestine, and More. And I have in there two end notes that explain the split between the Zionists and Jews. And let me just make the point that Netanyahu, one of his many, many strikes and one of his many crimes against Judaism, is he's actually gone on record telling the American Jews, the 9 million American progressive and reform Jews, that they can piss off. They have no standing in Zionist Israel. They are beneath contempt because they're not Orthodox Jews or loyal to the Shabbat supremacist cult that considers all of us non-human. And the second end note that I have there is from Haaretz, which is one of my favorite journals in Israel. It's a journal I pay very careful attention to. And there's an article in Haaretz which says, is it time for all Jews to boycott Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Zionism is over.
Well, I think we can celebrate that, no question. But you're right. It's not to be confused with Judaism, and Judaism is not over. So when do the true Jews take their country back? Is that the same question we should be asking? When do the true conservatives take America back?
It's a very good question, because I've watched a lot of Jews protest, and in fact, tomorrow we have a video going up which has some very faithful Jews pointing out with signs that Zionism is diametrically opposed to Judaism. I have, in my article, which has just been published, brought up 8 issues that can be addressed in a multinational Middle Eastern summit. And these 8 issues are essentially, 1, the denuclearization of the Middle East, including Israel, 2, peace between the Sunnis and the Shiites, 3, Jerusalem and perhaps Mecca as international cities, 4, restoration of Palestine. The Zionists have stolen Palestine from the Palestinians using military and other illegal methods. 5, creation of a Kurdish confederacy with no changes to existing national borders. The Zionists are arming and training and inciting the Kurds against Turkey, against Iran, and against Iraq. That needs to stop. But it needs to stop in a manner that's respectful of the fact that there is a Kurdish nation. There may not be a Kurdish state, but there's a Kurdish nation. And I'd love to see Johan Galtung brought in to achieve a peace solution for the Kurds in relation to the 3 countries where they live. 6 is repatriation of all unemployed Muslims from Europe back to Arabia, and reparations to Iraq, where the Fallujah babies stand as a testament to the inhumanity of the American way of war. These are the uranium mutant babies.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven is creation of a post-Western, post-fossil fuel economy with unlimited desalinated water, which we can do now. And number eight is creation of a regional open source agency and network with information and engineering bureaus. We've established that we can lift the 5 billion poor starting in the Middle East and North Africa at 10% the cost of the failed Western model by using open source everything engineering. So my bottom line is that anyone who thinks that we can't denuclearize Israel and put the Zionists back in a box is probably the same person that would have said we would never unite the Koreas and denuclearize North Korea. It's happened.
Yeah, but you know what? If you'd have said that to me a year ago, I would have said you're out of your mind. I would never have believed it either, but it is indeed happening.
Well, not only is it happening, but let me tell you the story. I went to Japan in February to meet with Benjamin Fulford, and Benjamin very graciously extended to me introductions to a number of people, including the head of a crime family, the head of an Asian secret society, and a Japanese princess who was the royal family liaison to the North Korean leadership. And on the 18th of February, she said, the Koreas are going to unite, the North is going to denuclearize, Trump has agreed to pull the U.S. forces out of South Korea after all that happens. And I came back and I reported that in an article in the American Herald Tribune on the 4th of March. I was called a lunatic by some people. 4 days later, QAnon came out and said, we're going to unite the Koreas, we're going to denuclearize the Koreas. And of course, today we see that it's come to pass. Well, I'm here to tell you, I was right on the 4th of March. I believe I'm right today. We are going to see the denuclearization of Israel and the restoration of Palestine in our lifetime.
That would be interesting. Now, let me give you the neocon perspective with the denuclearization of Israel. Well, Robert, don't you know that we need to have a nuclear Israel because Russia and China are threats in the region and we need their first response? What would you say to that?
That's absolute crap, and it's the kind of stuff that the neocons are always trotting out. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has made a glorious ass of himself recently. I mean, Gareth Porter is one of my favorite authors on truth about Iran, and Gareth Porter has just torn Netanyahu apart. Netanyahu's latest lie is that Israel stole all of Iran's nuclear secrets from a tin hut with no lock on the door in the middle of a warehouse district with no fences. This is insane. There is no Iranian nuclear program to speak of. There is a Zionist nuclear program that is based on nuclear technology that Arnon Milchan and others have helped steal, and for which John F. Kennedy was assassinated. He was not assassinated by the Zionists, but there were two Zionist witnesses in Dallas, Arnon Milchan, who is alive, and Yitzhak Rabin, who is not. What I am seeing is that China now has completed the high-speed rail to Iran, and China is going to replace France as the primary petroleum producer and processor in Iran. A friend of mine, Parag Khanna, has written a wonderful book called Connectography, which essentially shows how China has completely defeated the United States in grand strategic commercial terms by focusing on building ports and railroads and high-speed rail and creating trade deals. The United States has wasted a lot of money on a military that cannot win wars. And I want to really emphasize this. I have been speaking to some people who are close to the Secretary of the Navy. We've been looking at what happened to the USS Cook when a single Russian unarmed electromagnetic airplane fried all of the Cook's electromagnetic systems. And what I am being told is that the Russians and the Iranian have figured out they cannot sink a U.S. aircraft carrier because that would enrage the American public.
Right.
What they can do, Dave, and they've done it with the USS Cook, they're ready to do it to a carrier battle group, is they can turn out the lights. They can literally demobilize an entire U.S. carrier task force, all of its aircraft, and all of its anti-air systems.
How do they do that?
They have this electromagnetic system. I've got footnotes in my latest article on this. People can just look up the USS Cook. They can look up Russian and Iranian electromagnetic warfare. Look, I was the guy who wrote the original letter to the White House in 1994 about cybersecurity. Wynn Schwartzel, Bill Kiely in Australia, and Jim Anderson, who was then the top NSA security engineer, co-signed that letter with me. The White House refused to get serious about electromagnetic issues. And in fact, it's been known for two decades that the U.S. military's electromagnetic protections and buffering and its ability to avoid jamming itself is roughly on a par of 5 to 10% of the Russians. In Afghanistan, when we first went into Afghanistan, all of our systems were jamming each other. The drones, the artillery, the aircraft, they were all jamming each other because we have a U.S. military that's been built by favored contractors in a stovepipe manner with no integration. Okay? So bottom line here is I think Donald Trump now realizes, people have told me that he used the Syrian missile attacks, both of which were carefully coordinated with Putin and Assad in advance. He used them to actually test the effectiveness of the U.S. military. It's highly significant that Donald Trump now knows that one-third of the Raytheon missiles fired at Syria did not hit the target and did not explode. One-third failure rate.
That's absolutely disturbing.
But it's not surprising.
It reminds me of the inefficiency we discovered in the Iranian hostage crisis when our rescue attempt failed and we looked like a bunch of blithering idiots from a military perspective. This is reminiscent of those feelings I had then.
Well, see, it's even worse than that. The Iranians, when they took over the embassy, didn't expect to hold it for more than a couple of days. But one of the things they discovered as soon as they took it over was that there were four CIA officers in the embassy, and not a single one of the CIA people spoke Farsi. The Iranians were legitimately upset. Now, I'm pleased to tell you that today CIA does have people that speak Farsi, but it doesn't have unilateral assets of note. The United States government is what the Chinese used to call us when I was in Vietnam as a kid, a paper tiger. We don't have a serious military. I've written three monographs that were paid for by the U.S. Army War College. Then they refused to publish them because they were so contrarian. We should be closing all of our military bases overseas. Our military bases overseas are used as smuggling pads for smuggling guns, gold, drugs, cash, and small children. The smuggling of children through U.S. military bases is now at epidemic proportions. Okay? We should be closing all of our military bases, bringing our military back home, cutting our military budget in half, and then building a military that can actually win wars when it needs to. That means an armored army, an air force that can deliver something other than King Crab Legs from Alaska, an air force that can deliver an armored heavy division anywhere in the world in a week, and a navy of at least 450 ships that can put at least a platoon to a company of Marines anywhere in the world within 24 hours. We can't do that now. The U.S. Navy is 6 days away from anywhere. Okay, so I've written three grand strategy monographs. They're all free online at 58iota.net. And the bottom line here, Dave, is that the federal government is bloated by perhaps two-thirds. It's 50% waste, and it is not serving the public in any possible way you can conceive of.
That is just stunning. It really is. So what has Trump got to do?
Well, I think Trump's doing a lot of what he's got to do. His first priority was to survive assassination. I've written the Trump Revolution series, which is now in its 29th volume. These are mostly Kindle shorts. They're also available free online. And if your listeners go to 58iota.net, they'll see a little widget that has the Trump Revolution series there. They can click on that, and then they can choose between Amazon Kindle at 99 cents each or free online at my website. It's not my purpose to make money. I use Amazon to get people to see stuff. Trump is an accidental president. I have written the definitive volume on how Donald Trump won by accident. He wasn't expecting to win. White hats came in at the last minute and stopped Hillary Clinton from stealing 13 elections from the same states where she stole 13 primaries from Bernie Sanders. Donald Trump's thought from the time he went to bed on election night, I went to bed in tears at 3 a.m. in the morning, having watched a miracle unfold. From the moment he went to bed to today, Donald Trump's number one priority has been avoiding being assassinated. Well, after that, it was finding people he could trust. And part of the problem is that a significant portion of the U.S. government at the highest level consists of traitors. It consists of people who are loyal to the Zionists, loyal to the Vatican, loyal to Wall Street, loyal to anybody except the United States of America. We've actually had Knights of Malta in the CIA caught dealing with Knights of Malta in the Soviet Union, both of them working against their respective countries because their loyalty to the Knights of Malta was higher than their loyalty to their own country, including what are supposed to be the supreme of the supremes in terms of loyalty, intelligence professionals. So Trump has really had his challenges cut out for him, and I'd point out that all of his successes, and you know this as well as anyone, all of his successes, unlike all past presidents, have been in the face of deep resistance from the deep state, deep resistance from the shadow government. They're not the same thing. The deep state is the Vatican, the Rothschilds, and the Chabad supremacists. Jews who consider all Jews as well as Christians and Muslims to be non-human. So he has really done a lot. He's eliminated regulations. He's got one decent Supreme Court justice. He's got the economy going again. However, there is going to be an economic collapse, according to Martin Armstrong, in January 2020. And you've got still a major illegal immigration problem. You've also got a government that is continuing to borrow money. It's continuing to dig a deeper hole. And he's having trouble getting good, loyal staff, which is why I think he is largely carrying the government on his own back and cutting deals with Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin without bothering with the staffs. They're not up to serving him.
Well, I really think that's true, too, because they have two different agendas. And
yes.
So I just keep wondering, does he have an insurmountable task? But before you answer that, I want to go back to something you said that piques my curiosity. Who and what, and I'm speaking maybe about group affiliations, wants to see this president assassinated or would willing to be participants in that endeavor?
That's a good question. I would certainly say Hillary Clinton is at the top of that list. George Soros is at the top of that list. Bill Gates is probably on that list. Beyond that, I won't speculate other than to point out that it's now clearly established by the IG report that members of the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation have committed treason.
Yes.
They have absolutely committed treason. And so I think the good news is the times have changed. Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy were both assassinated because they could be assassinated. I don't think the assassination of Donald Trump would allow the deep state to accomplish the objectives that it was able to accomplish when it assassinated John F. Kennedy, to take the latest example. Trumpism without Trump won't be the same, but it cannot be killed.
Let me share with you what I was told by a pretty reliable source, and I'm not the only one to have this information. This came to Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio as well. Trump sends troops to the border. He's overreacting to a 1,500 migrant force coming north. That was the feeling we all had. And what we were told was, this is deeper, and there's multi-prongs to this, and I'll make it as simple as I can to get right to the point of assassination. A group in South America called the Shining Path were laying in wait for the president, and this is why he canceled his trip to South America. And these waves coming north conceal groups behind them with evil intent to come into the country, and he's standing up to these people who would bring him down. Do you know anything about a group called the Shining Path out of South America that's supposed
yeah,
to be?
I know them well. I think that story doesn't have legs. Look, one of the problems that the president has, and Morton Halperin's written an excellent book called Bureaucracy and Foreign Policy, and Rule One in Washington, according to this book, is lie to the president if you can get away with it. Now, General Tony Zinni, who was then commanding general of the Central Command with two wars and 12 joint task force actions going, is on record as saying that he got at best 4% of what he needed from the U.S. secret intelligence community. I will tell you three things. Number one, 90% of the people in the U.S. intelligence community are good people trapped in a bad system. Number two, the U.S. intelligence community does not know jackola about the world. They don't have unilateral assets. NSA does not provide signals intelligence support to clandestine operations or counterintelligence operations here at home. They are basically deaf, dumb, and blind. And number three, they do have traitors who will lie to the president and tell him about threats that do not exist in order to distract him. If I were Donald Trump, I would not believe that threat. Okay? There is too much garbage coming into his office, and there is not enough intelligence, which is decision support. Donald Trump is literally carrying this country on his back because the U.S. intelligence community and the Department of State and the Department of Defense are absolutely, utterly worthless when it comes to processing holistic analytics and true cost economics and addressing all 10 high-level threats to humanity. They only look at two. And the two that they look at, war and terrorism, we're actually the worst antagonists. We're the ones creating war and terrorism. They don't look at all of the policies from agriculture to water. They don't understand true cost economics. They're not able to help the president make decisions. It's that simple.
Okay. I'll take that. It's an interesting contrast to what I know. Does the Shining Path link Middle East terrorist groups with known cartels, Dave, in this hemisphere?
Dave, let's start with two facts. Number one, I was one of the first CIA officers assigned to terrorism full-time in the 1980s. Okay? I am an old spy, one of the first to be assigned terrorism full-time in the 1980s. I also did my graduate thesis on predicting revolution, which is one of the reasons why CIA was so interested in me. And subsequently, as a contractor, I studied 396 websites from terrorist, insurgent, and opposition web groups in 29 languages, something CIA could not do at the time for the Special Operations Command. Shining Path is nothing more than a local insurgent group. Yes, there are marginal links between Colombian insurgents and Middle Eastern insurgents and so forth. But at the end of the day, Shining Ass is a pimple on a donkey's ass, okay? The donkey's ass is Zionism. You really have got to get your priorities. We, the people, really have got to get our priorities in order. What is going on with the United States of America today is that our economy, our entertainment system, our government, our society have all been penetrated by a pernicious foreign power called Zionist Israel. And you have got to get a grip on that. Hollywood has been about replacing the church with television. And someone smarter, many people actually smarter than me, have been making this point. Since the assassination of Kennedy, people have been trying to destroy the family, destroy the community, isolate people, get people to turn into couch potatoes and not be part of vibrant communities anymore. We have literally been under attack. Now, I do want to say things are improving. There's a marvelous book out that I highly recommend by James and Deborah Fallows. It's called Our Towns. Jim Fallows is a small plane pilot. He's just finished a four-year tour, 100,000 miles of flying a small plane into what we quaintly call flyover country. Others might call that Trump country. And Jim has been dropping in on towns across America. And his book is out now. It has a marvelous conclusion. And what he has discovered is that America is disconnecting from Washington. and towns are reinventing themselves from the bottom up. People are coming together without regard to this nonsense left-right divide, which I've said for years is just there to keep us divided and conquered. So America is coming back together from a grassroots level, and I don't think Washington has noticed that yet.
I don't know how many Americans have noticed that yet.
Well, let me really give a shout out to this book. I'm pulling it over here. And if people go to phi-beta-iota.net today, they'll see that there's a wonderful post that summarizes the book and has a TV blurb. It's called Our Towns, a 100,000-mile journey into the heart of America. The heart of America is strong.
Well, I'm ambivalent on that point. And let me tell you why I am. I think the election of Trump and the unification of the alternative media in the campaign really helped educate a lot of people and brought a lot of people around to, shall we say, more open-eyed thinking.
Right.
But we still have at least half, if not more, of the country that I describe as dumber than a box of rocks.
Dave, please let me make a quick point to you, and I hope we'll talk about Trump 2.0, because half of the country doesn't vote. Trump was elected by 27% of the eligible voters. Obama was elected by 26% of the eligible voters. The key point that I want to make to you is that only 20% to 30% of the country is dumber than a rock. And those are the people that have been voting Republican and Democratic. Everybody else is waiting for a fair shake, which is why I'm so big on the Election Reform Act and why the Zionists went after hashtag on Rig 6 ways in 90 days. So the country is not that dumb. It's only the people that have been throwing themselves at the two-party system in blind loyalty that are hurting us. At least that's the case I would make.
Okay. All right. So what's critical mass, though, in terms of waking people up? When will we reach the point where the change is inevitable because, like a tsunami, the people's will is coming over the deep state?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm not sure if it will happen in 2018. The money that I've been promised to create the Truth Channel is 2 months late, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's just part of some major global currency resets that are happening. But if we can get the money moving in June, then a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, 22 million veterans are going to be mobilized. Number two, there will be massive outreach to the 47% that did not vote. Number three, there will be huge sums of money spent to get libertarians, greens, and independents elected to Congress in 2018, particularly veterans that are independents, greens, and libertarians. Number four, there will be a Truth Channel that cannot be censored or manipulated, where conservatives like you and me cannot be digitally assassinated by Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google and even Amazon. Amazon is deleting books. It's banning books. It's banning reviewers. It's banning individual reviews that have a conservative point of view. So if all of this happens in 2018, particularly if the president comes on board and realizes that he needs an Election Reform Act, I have, if people go to phi-beta-iota.net, they'll see the Trump 2.0 widget. And it's a widget that shows how we can take Trump from 27%, the 27% that voted for him, we can take him to 70% if he will engage in a two-way town hall meeting with the country.
I think he would do that. I don't think the opposition would.
Well, that's why Trump is, one of the things Trump does better than anybody is barnstorm. But he doesn't have anything to barnstorm on right now. I mean, as much as he's accomplished some very good things, right now he's at the platitude level. If he can carry through on the unification of the Koreas, that's huge. If he can do the global economic reset and let the public see that he's taken back $21 trillion from the bank, if he can start talking about eliminating the federal income tax in 2020 or 2019, now he's on a roll. America is waiting to see the unsealed indictments. It's waiting to see people go to jail. It's waiting to see the income tax put to death. It's waiting to see Donald Trump come back to the Americans and say, look, I recognize that the Republican Party is just as dirty as the Democratic Party. I'm going to work with you to put conservatives into Republican precinct seats, and I'm going to work with you to put independents, libertarians, and Greens into office so we can have a Congress that makes evidence-based decisions rather than what we have today, which is a two-party tyranny that works for Wall Street. There's no difference between the two wings of that one bird.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. It's a big delusion, and it keeps people occupied. I think, though, there is a seminal issue there for Trump. And I'm going to make a bold statement. It'll sound self-serving, but I do believe it to be true. Donald Trump's not sitting where he is today without the help of the independent media. And the independent media has been attacked viciously since his election. And my statement to the president is, where are you, Mr. President? Just out of gratitude, but out of your needed support for your platforms with local candidates in the 2018 election, where are you?
You know, Dave, I've thought about that a lot, because after Cynthia McKinney and I, and, you know, I was the alt-right white guy, and I was really privileged to have the alt-left black woman, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, a goddess who is an internationally renowned fighter for human rights. She joined me, and we created hashtag on Rig. The Zionists clearly saw that when we were saying America first, we meant not Israel first. They attacked us six ways in 90 days, a media hit job, a defamation campaign, attempts to close down both our funding channels, trolls reporting us to Kaspersky as a pornographic website so that we could not be accessed from libraries, denial of service attacks, some of which originated out of a particular NASA office, and more. Oh, and Meetup. Meetup canceled a $77,000 paid program with 435 meetups, one for each congressional district, because Meetup, like Google and all these other elements of the social media, are under the control of the Anti-Defamation League, the Zionist secret police. The ADL is YouTube's preferred flagger. The ADL is Google's YouTube secret police, not just the Zionist and deep state secret police. So I will tell you very candidly, I will be satisfied when the ADL and AIPAC voluntarily declare themselves to be agents of a foreign power. Until that day comes, I will work toward having them forcibly declared agents of a foreign power, which is what John F. Kennedy was going to do when he was assassinated. So let me tell you about where I think Trump is. Number one, he has been so busy dealing with really, really big issues that he has not given as much thought as he should have to the alternative media, the Truth Channel, to net neutrality, for example. Oh, it looks like that's coming back around. He has basically left us out here wounded on the battlefield. I think that there is an opportunity in the next 30 to 60 days to get the president to understand that he needs to leave Twitter. He needs to join what we're calling the trumpet system, which allows him to send trumpets out to 200 million voters who are not only opting in, but you cannot join unless you're a registered U.S. voter. So registered U.S. voters, we're going to create a system with 200 million registered U.S. voters, starting with 22 million veterans, then ramping up to 100 million with complete openness to libertarians, Greens, Constitution, reform, as well as Sandinistas. We've got some outreach to the Sandinistas, who now realize they were betrayed by Bernie, who was basically a sheepdog for Hillary. And we're reconnecting, my friend Carl Denninger, the Tea Party founder, we're reconnecting with real conservatives. And there is a plan. 50% of the Republican precinct seats are vacant. There is a plan to put veterans and conservatives into those vacant seats in the next 90 days. And literally flip the GOP back to its roots. So there's good stuff happening. What Trump needs to do, and that's why the Trump 2.0 concept is so important, Trump needs to show himself visibly as a leader. He needs to really help us defeat Google Gestapo, and he really needs to articulate the need for the Election Reform Act, which basically creates a level playing field so that everybody has ballot access and every vote counts. Today, with the electronic voting machines, the winner is decided before the first vote is cast.
You got it going in the right direction.
Yes.
What's it going to take for all of it come together? What's the key linchpin in organizing these various facets that you're pursuing?
There are two. If my billionaire delivers $125 million to me and $400 million to the Military Political Action Committee next week, that's a good start. But let me tell you in no uncertain terms, all we really need is 30 minutes of Donald Trump's time.
And would that be an endorsement kind of appearance? Or
you know, the president, I mean, I'll tell you what, if I could get the president to look at this one graphic, I think he's seen this one graphic. I've got five different people who have direct access to the president. And what they're all telling me is, Robert, we tried, but everybody is telling the president that you're a crazy person, a lunatic, that he absolutely should not talk to you, that you're saying bad things about him. Which is not quite true. I have called him out on a couple of things, such as his black wench. But the bottom line here is that Donald Trump is the greatest president ever. He has flaws. He needs to focus on reconnecting with the 99%. He's not there. He's taking us for granted.
That I couldn't agree more with. That is absolutely the case. And this is why the honeymoon with the independent media is ending. He's seeing a lot of people turn on him, and it's because he hasn't gone after YouTube. I mean, let me just lay this one thing out.
Yes, I love it. You're going in the right direction.
This comes from Ted Cruz, and I'm not a Cruz fan, but I'm a fan of what he said here. And then I took it to one of my attorneys, and he said, Dave, you're absolutely right. He used to be a trade attorney, so he knows what he's talking about. And this is what Cruz said, and I'm going to give it as close to a quote as I can. He's grilling Zuckerberg in those infamous hearings where Zuckerberg wasn't under oath. And he said, you know that you're a monopoly. And by virtue of the fact that you're a monopoly, you cannot censor or discriminate who gets to post on your forum. Because if you do, you are accountable for every post that comes on there, including things like child porn, and then you'll be civilly and criminally liable. There's the opening, Donald Trump. Where are you?
Well, let me go a step further, because one of the things that I've been talking to the billionaire about is a legal summit as well as a technical summit in July. The legal summit would bring together every existing court case against Amazon, Facebook, Google, Meetup, Twitter, and YouTube. And it would invite all Americans who have been censored by any of those, I call them in the aggregate hashtag Google Gestapo, mm-hmm. It would invite all Americans who wish to join in a massive class action Title VII anti-discrimination lawsuit against all elements of Google Gestapo. Because Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Meetup are all in violation of their commitment to the government to be an open town hall and to discriminate against no one. They are all discriminating not only against conservatives, but against progressives. There was one week that was famous because Twitter banned not only my friend Roger Stone, but they also banned a black alt-left woman who goes by the handle of Charlie Peach. The social media is controlled by Ashkenazi Jews who are subservient to the Zionist war machine. And the fact is that they are very much against anyone who challenges the official narrative to include people like former Marine Corps officer and PhD Jim Fetzer, who has demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that multiple events have been false flag events. It's no coincidence that there was a shooting just now in Texas. That is, in my view, part of taking away from the buzz of denuclearized Zionist Israel. This is all stuff that is, and by the way, false flags can include real people who die, It can include patsies who have basically been mind controlled into doing something seriously stupid. And it could also include people who just lose their mind and go nuts. There's a lot of nuances here. Bottom line is that Donald Trump, let me put it this way. His personal political website is crap. The website that was built for him to get ready for 2018, 2019, 2020 is no better or worse than any standard political website that has a few little headlines and essentially says, you don't matter. I'm just going to tell you what I think you need to know when I think you need to know it. Don't bother me. If the president were serious about being the president and not neglecting the 99%, he's done a good job of putting down the 1%. He has not reconnected with the 99%. Well, he never reconnected with it. He never connected to the 99%. That's what he needs to do next. Imagine an ecology in which the president can not only send out a trumpet to every single validated voter, but every single validated voter can send the president a text message or a trumpet or an email. And all of that is processed in a presidential dashboard so that he can see at a glance how single moms in Omaha feel about abortion issues or health issues or whatever. He can see at a glance the health of a nation in relation to water usage, toxins in the air, the whole nine yards. Our president does not have a communications or intelligence system worthy of the name in relation to connecting to the public. That is his sucking chest wound going forward.
Then who, I guess I'm mumbling here because I'm confused how a man at that level can't surround himself with some people who could give him definitive technological advice so he can project the best image going forward. This makes no sense to me.
Well, you know, I've thought about it a lot, and I think to give our president his due, he has accomplished miracles in the face of enormous resistance. And one of the things I've noticed is on the one hand, he very impetuously brought a bunch of people into the White House that should never have been there. And I would include Jared Kushner in that number. On the other, I have seen the deep state and shadow government very effectively divide and conquer Trump staff. They've basically put in some ringers. I personally believe the Office of Presidential Personnel is in enemy hands, and they've put in some ringers that have been undermining the president, and they've also managed to basically split off everybody that mattered to the president, including his personal security guy, Keith. So from where I sit, Trump is all alone in many ways. It's not completely negative. But I don't see him having the support structure that he deserves. I don't see him getting the intelligence that he should be getting. I don't see him being able to communicate easily with America. And you asked a critical question on why he isn't challenging Facebook and Google and so forth. If I were the president, Jefferson Sessions tomorrow would be initiating a RICO investigation into Amazon, Facebook, Google, Meetup, Twitter, and YouTube. There would be a massive public RICO investigation, and they would be required to disclose every single account, every single video, every single tweet that they have deleted and repressed in the last 4 years.
Well, fat chance of that happening. But I think, Robert, at the end of the day, the president needs to become more forceful. I mean, I'd love to see him get on Twitter. Let's see how Twitter handles this. Here's the showdown comment. On behalf of most America, which is conservative by nature, people who support me and my programs, we are calling out the social media for going after these people. They may control key pressure points, but there are more of us than there are of them. And we are coming after you, and we're going to enforce the law. This has to happen. This has to happen.
Yes and no. Let me say to you that Twitter is screwing the president every single day.
True.
I'm not sure the president understands just how badly. On both Facebook and on Twitter, the president has dropped to 25% of his former share. They are manipulating the algorithms to repress the president of the United States.
Yeah, all the more reason that they need to be investigated.
Well, I have, Dave, I have a strategy which I call sue and screw. And if my billionaire comes through, that's what we're going to do. We're going to create a massive class action lawsuit that is going to tie these people up in knots. It's going to give Brendan Sullivan, who is Google's lawyer in this town, a lot of billable hours. And we are going to screw them by replacing them. I'm in conversations with the CEOs of BitChute and several other companies. We're talking about creating an ecology that is integrated. We're talking about going to the CEO of AT&T and several other major companies so that we literally have an integrated system so that whether you send a text message from your phone or you send an email or you send a tweet, it's all part of an ecology that can be indexed and that has the rights of anonymity, identity, privacy, and security. We know what to do. And John McAfee is a colleague of mine, and I respect John's knowledge very much. And we've been talking about how with an Ethereum blockchain foundation, things that took Google and Facebook and Twitter a decade to build with thousands of people and millions of dollars can now be built in a week with a few people on top of a blockchain thing. Now, blockchain has its own issues. Bill Binney and I have been talking about the first step needs to be without blockchain because it comes with too many handicaps. But the bottom line here, Dave, is we're at a tipping point where it's possible for Donald Trump single-handedly to create a new American communication system that overturns hashtag Google Gestapo in every respect.
Yeah, we're going to have to pick that up on the other side. We're coming to the close of this hour. We're going to hold Robert over for the next hour, but I just wanted to mention to everybody that you're not going to want to touch this dial because we're going to get into some really sensitive issues in the hour following this. So I invite everybody to stay tuned. You are listening to the Common Sense Show here on the Global Star Radio Network as well as Red State Talk Radio, and we are in the midst of a vast expansion program, and we're going to be telling you about that in an upcoming broadcast. So we are really seeing exciting things here. And you've heard some things here that I'm sure have your curiosity up. Well, stay tuned, folks, because we're just scratching the surface. The next hour, Robert and I are going to get into some very, very deep issues. Stay tuned. We'll see you in hour number 3.